You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution, or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on Eros Evolution on OM Times Radio.
And welcome to Eros Evolution. This is where sexuality and spirituality meets. My name is Martha. I'm a clinical sexologist with a doctorate in human sexuality, and I'm from Eros Coaching. That's eroscoaching.com. And in today's show, I thought we could talk about something else. If you realize today is, for me at least in Singapore, the 7th of April, the first week of April is over, and the first quarter of the year is over. And this is probably a good time to reflect on where you're at in terms of your New Year resolutions, where you're at in terms of your life, and what are the things that you can do to take better charge of your relationship with your sexuality and spirituality. And actually, earlier this week, I was on a panel talking about physiology, self-care. So that was the panel that I was on. And when we talk about self-care, it's important to understand the difference between self-care, self-esteem, self-confidence, self-love. So what is self-care to you? To me, self-care has to do with all the things that we do to take care of ourselves. And the panel was focusing a lot on physiology because there were two people who were in charge of the physical aspect of the body. So one was a personal trainer and one was a person who used to be a personal trainer and is now running a gym. So there were two people on the panel who were into the physical aspect of health, and then there was someone who was a raw food chef. And so three people in charge of the physical aspect of the body. And as a sexologist, of course, we have sex using our bodies. However, I was talking on the panel about the link between the physical and the psychological. What I mean by that is that I was sharing on the panel how 5 years ago I had the depression again, and this happened usually after a severe relationship breakup. So the first time it happened to me in a major way was when I broke up with my first husband when I was 25, and then the divorce ended when I was 26. Being born and bred Singaporean, Chinese, Asian, with this kind of very hard on myself, you know, lead life as much as possible perfectly. I wasn't used to any setbacks. And so when the relationship ended, I spiraled into depression and slowly, finally, got out of it through daily exercise. So having known that exercise works for me, the second time when I broke up with my second husband, the second time in which I broke up and ended my relationship and broke up with my second husband, also went into depression. But this time was different. I had hives for 10 months every day, and I took suppressants to manage the hives. And it didn't go away, so the doctors put me on a stronger medication, which in turn affected the connection between the blood flow to my brain. So I was feeling really exhausted all the time from the medication. And while I was trying to hold everything together because of the onslaught of the physical with the medication, then started to get off the medications, finally let go of the relationships. Hives finally stopped, but then I broke down into depression for the next year. So for 2 years of my life, I wasn't really functional in the optimum way. And then in order to pick myself up from it, decided, hives or no hives, I'm going to just exercise and be really gentle on myself by exercising 10 minutes a day. So 10 minutes felt really great. It went by really quickly. And then I said, you know, I actually really want to continue. And I just can't push myself to the point that I can't take it. So I just did a little bit and stopped when I felt like stopping. And so that actually turned out to be about half an hour of very, very, very light exercise. And that slowly helped me to get physically and mentally stronger. And then I got out of depression within 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm sharing this because we're talking about self-care, and I wanted to talk about the importance of exercise for me. And maybe it's different for different people. So what is your self-care routine, and what does self-care mean to you? And I say self-care routine, I mean something that you do to return back to taking care of yourself every day. So some people say a routine doesn't work for them, like something that's at a fixed time and place doesn't work for them. And for me, I realized that the routine helped in preparing my mind and my body for what is to come. If you, maybe you're different from me, but for me, I every day is different because I work for myself. Some days I have clients, some days I have workshops, some days I have Skype interviews, and some days I have other stuff going on. I have deadlines, I have media articles to respond to and media quotations and things like that. So every day is different. And when you don't have control of your day, it can feel really disorientating and a little bit all over the place. So the routine started with me wanting to get physically stronger. And within a few weeks, I realized that my body was starting to look forward to that routine. And there was such ease and relief in knowing that there was something, of all the things that I couldn't control in my life, of my life, that was something I could control. And that was what I chose to do first thing in the morning, take care of me first. And that discipline was something that I didn't know was so important. When we don't have a routine, it is, like I mentioned, disorientating. It became this anchor that I started to look forward to, that I started to take back control of my life. And this became something that was non-negotiable, that was my way of taking care of myself, that was beyond just brushing my teeth, showering, cleaning my room, and making sure I pay the bills. It was much, much more than that. It was about giving to myself, having that discipline that I didn't know I needed, exercising that mental muscle of being able to do something that was not exactly pleasurable all the time, and yet at the same time, something that my body needed so much. So that's what I mean by care. And over the months that started to happen in my routine, I started to get bored with doing the same thing, and so I started to mix it up. I added in meditation with the movement, which then in turn helped to make the routine more enjoyable. So over time, realized that I could add this and that to make the routine much more enjoyable and much more productive use of my time. So what might be your routine, your self-care routine that you are doing for yourself that works really well? when I was talking about this routine and how it changed my life and how I feel so much more empowered, so much more energy, I posted this on my Facebook page and somebody commented. It said, it's not really about the exercise that changed your life, it's about the routine. It's about the anchoring. And it's just about having something that you do every day that works for you. And even deciding this routine could come from a place of pleasure. So think about what it is that gives you pleasure. And so some of my clients share with me that their routine is maybe meditating first thing in the morning. It could be having a nice breakfast that they make for themselves in the morning. It's something that they go back to doing every day. So when I started to engage in this self-care routine, I then really got into a deeper appreciation of what self-love means. And so the link between self-care, discipline, and self-love. So this is what I talked about on the panel that I was on earlier this week. And definitely for me, self-care is much more than physical, even though that was what the panel was about. So that's what I have to share about self-care. And tomorrow I'm going to be on a different panel. And it's interesting because I thought I just weave in the messages that I have for these two panels into today's show. So the other panel is that I'm going to be on. I'm going to KL in a few hours. So KL is Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It's the capital of Malaysia. And I'm going to be speaking on a different panel. This time I'm going to talk about what you can do about being in a sexual rut. When sex is kind of going through the motions, you get stuck, you get bored, and I'll be talking on the panel what you can do about it. And I'm going to be alongside a very famous urologist, Dr. George Lee, and also a clinical psychologist, Paul, who teaches in Monash University, and he also runs his own psychology consultancy. So I've met both men, and they are brilliant. They are so intelligent, so smart-witted, they are able to think on their feet. They're really, really brilliant. And so I'm going to be on a panel with them. I feel a little bit intimidated. And the panel is called The Age of the Sex Drought. So this is when couples are not having sex and not having enough and also get stuck in some kind of the rut. And we're going to come up to a break now, and I'll talk more about the age of the sex route after this break.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Susan Schuler.
And I'm Lori Walker.
And we are
the Psychic Angel Channelers
from Angel Talk Tuesday.
Tune in every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on OhmTimesRadio.com.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Bathe in the beautiful vibrational frequency to help you heal, expand, and remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
What's up? This is Brad and Mike from Linkin Park. For Lifebeat, the music industry fights AIDS.
Listen up. Times are tough and you get a lot of things thrown your way. If you're being pressured to have sex and you're not ready, then say no. If you're having sex, be smart and use protection. Respect yourself and protect yourself.
For more information, call the National AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS or log on to www.lifebeat.org.
You are listening to Arrow's Evolution on the Om Times Radio Network, and you can share this show with your friends by going to the link omtimes.com/mobile. With this link, you and your friends will be able to listen to the show without needing to download any app. And this is Martha. I'm a clinical sexologist from Arrow's Coaching, and I had been meant to have a guest, but we had difficulties with patching him into the show. And so after struggling for 15 minutes, decided that I'll do something else for today's show. And so far in today's show, I've talked about the importance of self-care. And now I want to talk about this very, very common topic, which is really probably an epidemic, which is the age of the sex drought. This is when a lot of couples are together and not having sex. And one of the biggest misconceptions a lot of people have is that if it's meant to be, it will just flow. If it's meant to be, it will happen. If it's meant to be, and all the cosmos and the stars are aligned, we will have sex. And this is a huge misconception because with modern day challenges, when we don't plan for something to happen, it is difficult because things come up. Just like I mentioned earlier just now, in my day-to-day, every day is different. And so I need to have some predictability by having this self-care routine so that it acts as an anchor for me. And what happens with couples is that it's not just all the dynamics of one life, it's the other person's life that's also shape-shifting and going through changes all the time. So when you have two people's lives, how do you make sure that both of you are more likely to be on the same page? And so one of the things clients fight with me over is the idea of scheduling sex. And even that makes people feel like there needs to be some kind of performance. It's important to know that when you talk about scheduling sex, it can be quite intimidating. So especially when couples are already tired and there's resentment in the relationship, they really don't feel like doing it. And so one of the things that can happen is instead of calling it a sex date, call it a date or call it a physical intimacy date. Call it anything you want just to prepare the mind and to not feel that kind of resentment. So it's a date to have some kind of physical intimacy. Doesn't have to be sex, doesn't have to be penetration. It can be just something that you commit to doing for a fixed amount of time, say half an hour or an hour. And it can be a massage, it can be one-way sex, say, for instance, giving partner handjob or blowjob or oral sex instead, or a head massage, something physical for that time. And it's about quality time also. And one of the most common things, at least in Singapore, is that couples are tired because they are burning both ends of the candle. They wake up early and then they sleep late. They're not getting enough sleep and they're tired. stressed from work, working long hours, they're stressed. They also have to juggle multiple roles. There's work, there's family, there's kids, then there's social obligations, friends, and then there's maybe aging parents as well thrown into the mix. Then there's housework. So when we have to put on many hats in our lives, as the worker hat, the husband-wife hat, the father-mother hat, the lover hat, the friend hat, there's really very little left for yourself. And it's very much about taking care of yourself so that you have the energy to fulfill all these roles and obligations and duties and responsibilities. And so the one of the things that goes is sex. And sex often needs to come from a place of well-being. It comes from a place of being healthy and feeling abundant. And then that's when you feel this sex desire. One of the things that I found was different between men and women is that men get more energy when they exercise. When men exercise, they release this testosterone, which in turn makes them feel good, which in turn makes them feel like having sex and makes them feel more masculine. However, with women, when you already are stressed, what doesn't work is forcing yourself to exercise and exercise in ways that is focused on losing weight. So when we think of losing weight, we think of doing something really aggressive so as to burn more calories. So aggressive sports would be, for instance, like maybe if you have a gym membership, you might be familiar with this, a body combat, a body pump. It's real tough workout. And I used to do that. I used to do body combat. So you just jump up and down and you do kicks and you imagine that you're trying to do some kind of self-defense by kicking into thin air. It sounds easy, but with the music, it really gets the adrenaline going and you feel really good. But what it does, it releases all this stress, the hormones. Your body is already stressed. You are already, then you make yourself do it. So you push yourself really hard to do this very, very strenuous exercise. And then what's actually happening is your body actually feels even more stressed. And so the fight and flee mode is being triggered in the body. And so for women in general, the body feels that it's under attack. And so it's trying to keep on, hold on to the fats to protect itself because it feels completely shattered, completely overwhelmed. And so I find that it seems to be different for men and women. Men really like it and men really get fat from doing this kind of strenuous exercises when actually their body is having this testosterone. And then when it comes to women's bodies, they just completely pushed themselves to the limit. And then words like adrenal fatigue may come in. This is when your adrenal glands are completely fried. And it may take years to even recover. And so for women who find that they are really so tired, what it means is they shouldn't be doing these strenuous exercises. It doesn't mean they shouldn't be doing some exercises. So slow exercises can help. It can help to calm down the nervous system. So yoga, Pilates, meditation, a light like walking can help really to stress calm down the nervous system and let go of stress in a gentle way. And so this is different for men and women. And so for people who are already tired and stressed, I would say depending on the person's body and depending on what feels good for them, they may want to do light exercises and they may want to do aggressive or more active exercises. That's entirely up to them. However, what it needs to be is it needs to be something that feels good and not something that you push yourself to the point of where you are, like in a breaking point. And so it's important to acknowledge these differences between men and women. And I know, as I say this, people would be up in arms over me and say that there's no real difference between men and women, or I'm just stereotyping, or what about people who are transgender, or people who don't identify as men or women. I don't know. I don't know the answer. All I know is this is my observation of men, and this is my observation of women, being in a woman's body as well, having had this experience. And all I can say is what I just said just now, which is depending on what feels good in your body, just do it. Just listen to your body and know that you can't possibly not do any exercise, because we do get something from exercise. It does help with stress, and it does help with our hormonal balance. It does help with us getting fit and healthy. However, please see and explore if your body would do better with light exercises, and see if your body would do better with strenuous exercises. Then go ahead. That's all I can say. And so when it comes to sex drought, I've already said what I said, that it's important to schedule time for intimacy, because when we have two different schedules, it's important to at least meet each other some way. When you start doing the touching, then sex is more likely to happen. It may not happen, but it's still important to have some kind of physical and emotional intimacy in a relationship. I talked about exercise and the importance of taking care of yourself and giving back to yourself, so that you are feeling physically and psychologically strong. And that's very important when it comes to sex drought. Some couples, I have started to recommend that they may want to go on some kind of mini vacation, a staycation. Some couples, I've recommended that they look for a babysitter. In Singapore, a lot of people have maids or domestic helpers. And sometimes they don't have it. They don't want to have one. And it's important to look at other ways in which you can get help if you have young children. So, for instance, getting a friend who doesn't have a partner, doesn't have kids, but really likes kids. They get filled up babysitting and then returning the kid back to you. So if you don't ask, you don't know that there are actually people who really might even do babysitting for free. So there are actually options that people can look into when it comes to making time for intimacy. A close friend might be willing to do that, so that down the road you could, he or she could call in a favor. And a lot of times parents are very hard on themselves. You know, they want to do it all. They feel guilty when they're at work and they don't have time for their kids, and so they want to spend the remainder of all their time with the kids, but they don't feed themselves. And so there's couple time, and then there's the alone time that needs to happen. And so this coordination needs to take place. So I'll share more after this break.
Best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talks on Om Time Radio.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Welcome back to the last 15 minutes of today's show. In today's show so far, I've talked about self-care and the importance of having a self-care routine, whatever it is that works for you. And then I started to talk about being in a sexual rut or sex drought and the importance of scheduling time for intimacy, for some kind of intimacy physically to take place, to let go of the stress and an attitude problem around scheduling time for intimacy. I also talked about tiredness and fatigue and the importance of exercise. And it can be light exercise or it can be aggressive sports. It's entirely up to the person. However, it needs to be something that feels good. And now I want to talk about the difference between spontaneous sexual arousal and reactive sexual arousal. Generally, a couple are opposites, I find. You get an introvert with an extrovert. You get somebody who is a day person and somebody who's a night person. So even then, it's important to compromise when you have sex. And then you might have somebody who is more clean and somebody who is more messy. So all these differences can really contribute to their level of happiness in the relationship. So when it comes to touch, there is a type of person called spontaneous desire. And spontaneous desire people are people who, when they feel excited, they want to basically go. And so what it means is if they say they see something and they feel horny, they may want to have sex right away. So spontaneous people get activated much more quickly, physically, and then they want to have sex. And this is the reason, one of the reasons why scheduling sex doesn't seem to work for these people, because to them it's kind of like, why do we even need to schedule time? Whereas for the people who are the reactive, sexual desire people, they need actually to be touched in order to be triggered in their body to have sex. So this is the reason why in a couple, usually one person is initiating more. Because the person who is feeling spontaneous desire, the one who is more likely to get triggered and feel horny, feels that they want to have sex, and then they feel that they need to initiate. But then the responsive desire person is not initiating sex because the person is not being touched. So the responsive person needs to be touched first to feel horny. And so if the person doesn't feel horny, the person doesn't initiate sex. So this gets very frustrating for the spontaneous desire person, because this person goes, why am I always the one initiating? It would be nice if I'm not the one who's always initiating. And there are also couples that I know of who are not very, very tactile people. They're not very much in their bodies. They're not really feeling they need physical intimacy. It could be because they were not hugged when they were young. It could be because they are just not into that kind of sensory mode. Because there are people who are more visual, there are people who are more auditory, there are people who are more kinesthetic. And so people who are more kinesthetic might be more likely to be responsive desire people. And I certainly know as a person in a female body that I don't feel horny usually. I might feel horny organically once a month, and that is the time in which I'm most likely to self-pleasure. But other than that, I do feel that I have to put in a little bit of effort to ask myself, when was the last time I masturbated? Maybe I would like to touch myself and play with myself a little bit now or maybe later. And if I'm not triggered by something, if I don't have a partner who's touching me, I probably will have a lot less sex by myself and a lot less sex, if at all. And so it's important to acknowledge that just because you don't feel like having sex mentally or physically, it doesn't mean you cannot get triggered to wanting to have sex. And so it's important to know that when you have a couple who are likely to have these differences, one who is a responsive desire and one who is spontaneous desire, it's important to know that scheduling time for this to happen can be very useful for the person who is more responsive, because the responsive person can do things to make sure they are more likely to be in the right frame of mind. For instance, getting the laundry done before that, getting the space clear and clean, getting the sex toys ready, giving themselves a little massage while they are doing a shower before that date, for instance. All these things, little things, can help the person who needs a little bit more time to get excited. And so it's important to understand the difference in couples when it comes to sex drought, because people who are not touched are not likely to want to have sex. But then there are also couples who say that they feel repulsed by their partners because every time they are touched, there's always this expectation of sex. And so it's important to mix it up and have intimacy without the expectation of sex as well. So for instance, you know, cuddling before bed or kissing in the morning before going to work. These are little couple rituals that helps the couple to stay connected and to ensure that they are getting touch and they are getting the physical and emotional intimacy for them to feel close to each other. So it's important to understand that it is different for different people, and to maybe use this show as a point to discuss with your partner. Does this speak to you? Do you think that you are more of this kind of person? And spontaneous and responsive desire is not a gender thing. It could be a woman who is more spontaneous desire, feels horny and wants to have more intimacy. It could be the man who wants to have more sex because they're more in their bodies. So it's really different, and I don't want to make generalizations. People get angry and upset about it. But it's important to explore and see if you're that person. And it's not about right or wrong. It's not about who is better or worse. It's just different. You're just different. And you're different from your partner, and because you're different, so then you need to work with what works for you. With couples who have different body clocks, one who is a morning, one who is a night person, it's very tricky what time they go to bed, because one feels very productive at night and doesn't want to go to bed so early, and the other person needs to be up by a certain time in the morning, because that's when they get the kids ready for school and so on and so forth. So a morning and night person will find it very challenging to find a time. So recently I came across this book and I really love it, and I actually like to recommend it. It's called Queen's Code, and you can actually buy the book from the website directly, queenscode.com. And in their book, they mention many things, but one of the things I want to highlight here is the pumpkin hour. So the pumpkin hour is when Cinderella's pumpkin, a coach, turns back into a pumpkin. Her coach that brings her to the ball turns into a pumpkin. And there is no way when you are at pumpkin hour of 12 midnight that you can still continue to use this coach. You cannot. And so pumpkin hour came about by saying that this is the hour in which you just cannot be expecting sex anymore. And it's important to know what that hour is, because then you work with what is before pumpkin hour. And a lot of couples force or push or bully or get angry with their partner when they don't even know for sure what is their partner's pumpkin hour. So get to know your partner and know that you have different body clocks. One is a morning, one is a night person. Yes, we get that. But what is the pumpkin hour? What is the hour in which sex is not going to happen no matter how much you try anyway? Then just stop trying during those hours and find ways to have intimacy at other times. A client of mine was actually having this problem. So then I said, look, find different times that works for you, and you can preempt your partner by texting her and letting her know that sex is on the cards. And so got creative and thought about it and said, actually I could come back home for an hour and then go back to work. And so that can work out pretty well instead of trying to have sex at the pumpkin hour. So I hope this makes a lot of sense to you guys. And the show is just about to end, and I just want to do a shout out again. For those of you who don't remember, the Clean and Clear campaign that I'm running for 30 days, the link is facebook.com/groups/clean-adn-clear. And it is entirely on Facebook right now. I do have 3 online products that some people don't know about. I have 1 product called Sex Jumpstart, and you can find all my products on my website under products. That's arrowscoaching.com/products, and you'll find Sex Jumpstart. It's a program on breaking down sexual communication and revisiting ways in which you can touch your partner with not making assumptions. Because when you know someone really well, we start making certain assumptions about what they like, and we do things in the same way, we can get into some kind of a rut. So do check out Sex Jumpstart and the other programs that I have relating to sexual intimacy. This has been Martha of Eros Coaching, and next week we're going to be talking about your hidden health secrets with Christine Horner. And it's important to talk about the 4 diseases that modern medicine provides, and this show will be exploring that. So in the meantime, stay well, and this has been Martha of Eros Coaching.